Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. I want to tell you a different story this morning. Different only because it is contemporary, not from 2,000 years ago. But in every other sense, it is the same story. It's set in Egypt. The modern-day Herods are still searching for this child, and they still want to kill him and those who love him. And yet, the Lord is their miraculous protector. The voice behind this story is Dr. George Babawi, an Egyptian himself, a Christian, a graduate of the Coptic Orthodox Theological College in Cairo, and who has enjoyed an illustrious intellectual career teaching Christian, Judaic, and Islamic history, theology, and spirituality at Cambridge University and at Nottingham University in Great Britain, and in Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant seminaries in Europe, the Middle East, and the United States. He served committees on the World Council of Churches and in the Vatican. He was an advisor on Christian affairs to Egyptian President Anwar Sadat before his assassination, and so on. His academic, religious, and political credentials are stellar and impeccable. But that is not the story either. This is the story, the contemporary story of Jesus in Egypt, Jesus with his family in danger, and the angel of the Lord working in the same dream-oriented, miraculous, providential way that St. Matthew's Gospel and St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians describe. Dr. George, we occasionally hear rumors that many Muslims in North Africa are converting to Christianity. Is this true? Dr. George, there were 80,000 converts in Algeria this year alone from Islam to Christianity. And at least 500,000 Muslims became Christian in Egypt over the last 2 years. We know how many are converting because they speak on the internet chat rooms. Why do they convert, Dr. George? Miracles. Christ is manifesting himself because the Coptic Church is very weak, and we've lost our courage to speak. Not long ago, a Coptic Christian priest was defrocked by the order of the Egyptian government because of his missionary work. Through his program via satellite, over 4,000 Muslims in Saudi Arabia became Christian. These converts include Islamic academics, professionals, and clergy. I sometimes hear stories that make my hair stand on end. There is a man in Gaza whom I want to bring to speak here. He is Muslim and has been to Mecca 14 times. On the last visit, as he was going around the Kaaba, he heard a voice coming from the loudspeaker in Arabic, "Jesus Christ is Lord." He looked around and thought, "There must be a crazy Christian here trying to commit suicide." He couldn't see anyone, and no one else seemed to have noticed, so he kept praying. The second time around the Kaaba, he heard the same voice, and again, no one else around heard it. He thought, "This is for me, then." He became a Christian. His brother, who lives in Canada and is a member of an ultra-Orthodox Muslim Brotherhood, then took a solemn vow to kill him because of his Christian conversion. About a year ago, this man, the convert, came to the U.S. and gave his testimony at a conference with 6 other converts. And believe me, those stories take you back to the early days of Christianity. You are hearing things that are utterly impossible to believe. One of these converts has a DVD available on the internet. She was the headmistress of a secondary school in Cairo when a young Christian woman who had just transferred to her school came to greet her wearing a golden cross. The headmistress saw it and said, "Christ was not crucified," and snatched the cross from the girl's neck, snapping the chain. A little later, Christ appeared to the headmistress in her office, called her by name, and said, "Why are you resisting me? I have died for you." Now, isn't that just like Paul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road? She went to the cops, but they were afraid to baptize her. So she was baptized in an evangelical church, and then she immigrated abroad. Sometimes these Islamic converts go to the Coptic church, sometimes to the Catholic, sometimes to the Orthodox church. Believe me, there is something going on in Egypt, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Saudi Arabia. We don't know why Christ is moving the crisis in that direction, but this is what is happening. On a recent visit, a priest that I trained years ago at the Coptic seminary told me, "George, I baptize at least one Muslim per week. We don't advertise, we don't speak, we don't let them tell their story publicly in church. They can speak in small Bible studies and prayer meetings, but we don't expose them to danger." All of his converts from Islam have come to Christ through the healing of a medically impossible situation. Once, when I served with Father Mikhail at St. Mark's Church in Cairo, one of our church members, a very fine Christian, had a heart attack. Because he was wealthy, they were able to rush him to the best military hospital in the south of Cairo, where he was placed in a small room with another man. We went to pray with our Christian brother, and after Father Mikhail anointed him, the man in the next bed asked, "Why don't you anoint me also?" As usual, in order to avoid any complications with the police, we asked, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No, I am a Muslim." Father Mikhail said, "Do you believe that Christ can heal you?" He said, "Yes." So he anointed him, prayed with him, and left. The following day, our Christian brother died. We were very sad, and as I sat in my church office arranging the funeral, a neatly dressed man walked in and said, "I've come to see you." "Yes, what about?" he said. "You must teach me the Christian faith because I have to be baptized." I asked, "Who are you?" He said, "My name is General so-and-so." He was a high-ranking officer in the Egyptian army. I panicked because sometimes the authorities come as fake converts to create problems for us. I replied, "I can't baptize you. You will have to see our priest." When I told Father Mikhail, he replied, "George, let's go. He is ready to accept the faith." As it turned out, this was the man in the other bed who had been anointed the night before. I didn't even recognize him. After we left, Christ had appeared to him in a vision, taken out his heart, put it aside, and put a new heart in its place. Christ said to him, "Do you see this pool of water? You have to go into this water. And do you see this table with bread and a chalice? You have to eat this bread and drink from that chalice." The young man who came with me, who came with the priest yesterday, will teach you the Christian faith. I was amazed. Me? Teach the Christian faith? What a privilege, but how dangerous. The general said, "That's why I've come." He was hungry for anything I said and was always asking for more books. We baptized him on a Thursday at 3 a.m. In our churches, like all churches in the Middle East, the font is about the size of this room. You walk down steps and stand up to your chest or shoulders in the water. As we were praying, two bodyguards who had come with him, Muslim boys from the army, stood outside. In the middle of the service, they suddenly broke through the door of the baptistry shouting, "Where is the general? Where is the fire?" They had seen a flame of fire fall from heaven onto the baptistry. I asked Father Mikhail, "Where is the fire?" He said, "George, there has been a manifestation of the Lord, but not for you to see. The two Muslim soldiers saw it. The priest saw it, but I didn't see it." The general came out of the baptismal font, and afterwards he insisted on giving his testimony in the cathedral on a video in front of 6,000 people. He left the country immediately afterwards. His wife and two daughters followed him, and they live somewhere abroad under false names. We look back now and think, my goodness, we lost our Christian brother. We gained a convert, and his testimony became like an earthquake. Now he would be killed. We have a file of testimonies of tortured converts that has been given to the U.S. Congress in Arabic and English. In one American city alone, there is a street of 35 homes, all occupied by Islamic converts to Christianity from Egypt. A similar story is told by Islamic converts in a secondary school in Cairo. During recess, a Christian girl often used to open up her desk and read the New Testament. Another student became curious and thought, what is she doing? One day she opened the girl's desk and found the New Testament, which she took to read. This was the daughter of the highest-ranking Muslim cleric of Al-Azhar in Cairo, the largest Islamic university in the Middle East. And she became Christian after reading the New Testament. Her family lived in a Muslim neighborhood, and when they found out that she wanted to become a Christian, they chained her to the entrance of their block of flats, and all of the people who lived there threw garbage on her and tortured her. One night she said to Christ, "I can't take it anymore. You have to save me." So Christ came and cut off her chains and said to her, "If you go to that street, you will find a priest. Follow him. He will lead you to salvation." That priest was Father Mikhail. The good thing is that our priests wear their black cassocks on the street, so she recognized him right away. She followed him and said, "My name is, and this is my story." He replied, "Come with me." And she lived in a room next to mine at the Coptic Seminary for 6 months. Meanwhile, the police were looking everywhere for her, and I have to tell you that we were afraid. I was present when she was baptized, and afterwards a group of Christians working in the passport office gave her a false passport and smuggled her from Egypt to Lebanon. From Lebanon, she went to Jordan, where she lived with a Jordanian woman who later moved to the United States. One day, I was speaking about Amel, her baptized name, when this Jordanian woman, who is a friend of mine, said, "Oh, Amel, she lived in my house." But, you know, these things go on all the time. Because the Christians cannot testify or preach, the Lord is doing his work outside. Even in Saudi Arabia, Muslim clerics are converting to Christ. These converts from Islam are not timid. There's something powerful in them. Whenever Amel prayed, you felt there was a fire in the room. When I asked Hassan, who heard the voice at the Kaaba, if he needed police protection, he said, "No. If my brother really wants to kill me, he will come and kill me. My time is in the hands of the Lord." Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. May God give the increase. Amen.